Welcome to Pardon My French,
the podcast that teaches you French in a fun and casual way.
My name is Tom.
And my name is James.
Enjoy the show. So as you might be able to tell from the whistle, this episode is on...
Flowrider.
Imagine if we did a whole episode on Flowrider.
I don't think we could.
I think we could do 2 minutes. We could do it now.
If that.
We'll do that now.
All right, okay.
So Flowrider.
Flowrider's an artist.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
He's black?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I think so.
He's from Florida. That's why he's called Flowrider.
Oh, I see what he's done there. Because when you put the words together, it spells Florida.
Yeah.
So clever.
What would you be called?
I'll
be Ip Switch. No.
That's quite good, actually. Yeah.
Maybe that should be my new rap.
Hip Switch.
That's my new rapping name.
Yeah. So that's the end of our Flowrider episode. So join us next week for our episode on sport, which we'll now do right now.
Yeah. Because it's not really a Flowrider
episode.
Yeah,
so the whistle, it wasn't really about Flowriders, blow my whistle. We're doing our episode about sport this week. And yeah, we've got a lot to talk about because we're both quite big sport fanatics, aren't we?
I would like to think so. But
or sport fans.
I think I'm more of a fan than a fanatic.
I don't know. I've seen you frothing at the mouth when you're watching your football matches and stuff.
Yeah.
Even when you're playing FIFA, you go mental.
Yeah, I love the FIFA games. I used to be a PES man, though.
Yeah? What happened?
I don't know. FIFA just got better.
Were you traumatised?
Yeah. Pro Evolution. But we did... I haven't seen it for like the gameplay for ages until we went to our local kebab shop.
That is true.
And that was that was fun. Because
where they had a kind of game station installed in the corner.
Yeah,
that,
the owner just sits there and plays people at PES.
He didn't even serve us, did he? We had to scrape our own kebab off, didn't we?
I quite enjoyed it.
I did, yeah.
That was a deal yesterday, though, wasn't it? We got it cheap.
We did get it cheap, yeah. A little reduzione.
Yeah, and there was a different girl making the kebab. Mm-hmm. And she made it much saucier and much spicier.
Yeah, I think it's important to talk about kebabs in the sport episode because it's, you know, I think a lot of people who do sport, it's a real kind of yin and yang. There's the sport on the yin, and then there's like the kind of pigging out on the yang.
It's not actually yin, it's yin.
Whatever.
Just to let you know, because it's a common mistake.
Yeah, common mistake. Thanks for pointing that out. No worries. Like a dick on the podcast.
Again.
So, I personally, if I've done a bit of sport, if I've gone on a jog or something, I'll happily come back and I'll just stuff my face with pizza. And I think a lot of people out there will feel what I'm feeling here, is that there's this like real guilt-free when you've done some workout and you can just pig out, you know?
Well, we went to the gym before going to the kebab shop yesterday, didn't we?
Yeah, we did actually, yeah. So there you go. So we pumped meat. And then we ate meat.
Pump meat? No, you calling your body like meaty? Like beefy?
Yeah, like the beefy, yeah, beef. That's what I meant. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So, you know, in French, if you want to stuff your face with food, you can say that. There is a word for it. Even though they actually rarely do that. They kind of eat in moderation.
No, they load themselves with cheese.
So we've seen these reflexive verbs before, haven't we? Can you remember what goes in front of a reflexive verb?
No.
It's like a sir.
A sir.
Yeah, it's so like, like se lever, and then it becomes je me lève.
Okay.
Up. So in the same way, to stuff your face with food, you can say se goinfre. Se goinfre.
Se goin?
Goinfre.
Goin?
Yeah, goinfre.
Se goinfre?
Yeah, okay. And so it's je me goinfre.
Je me goinfre?
Goinfre.
Goinfre.
And there's like an R at the end.
Goinfre.
Goinfre.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's just like just pigging out, you know, absolutely, like maxing out your estomac, and that's stomach for you as well. Estomac.
There we go.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you remember put a Big Mac in there?
Yeah, put a Grand Mac. Well, strangely, you know, when I was living in Paris for my year out, I did actually eat quite a lot of McDonald's there, because I couldn't really cook meat in my apartment. I only had no microwave, no oven.
You had a hob.
I had two hot plates, two plaques.
You could have you could fry a burger.
Yeah, I could, but...
Do bacon?
Yeah, true. Yeah.
But you're just lazy.
Put some bacon on it. Mm. So yeah, and...
Thanks for that reference.
Yeah, and basically, in French-speaking McDonald's, they pretty much refer to everything as the same as English, like un Big Mac.
Le Big Mac.
You know, le Happy Meal.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't say like le heureux meal, which is happy. Yeah, it's just the Big Mac or whatever. And if you want a meal deal, they call it a menu.
A menu?
Yeah, yeah, like a menu. Yeah. So you say a large menu would be a maxi menu.
Okay.
You could say a menu Big Mac.
They do it by number a lot of the time, I think.
Sometimes. What, like a Chinese restaurant?
Yeah, like
I'll have two menu, twos, a five, and three.
Two.
I want a half Coca-Cola, half Diet Coke.
I'm watching my figure.
I want a four-piece chicken McNuggets.
I just want to let people know that are listening that I'm having some serious ear pain right now. So yeah. If I, like,
I'm looking over at Tom while we're recording this, and he's just kind of rocking from side to side like the Exorcist girl, and kind of rubbing his head on his shoulder, like, in a way I can only liken to
like
kind of
some
Stephen Hawking or something. I might replace you with Microsoft Sam in the next episode.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't like Sam.
Didn't you?
No, had some beef with him.
I really like the, you know, the new iPhones, they have that guy. I think he's cooler, he's got a bit more cockiness about him.
Who?
The guy, you know, the iPhone that speaks to you.
I thought it was a girl called Siri.
No, well, originally it was a guy.
Really?
Yeah, he's like, hello.
Oh.
What do you want to do?
Neither of us are in a position to own an iPhone, so we can't really comment
exactly,
on
yeah.
this.
I've got a very old phone.
Mine?
Can't get internet on it.
No, mine hasn't even... Mine's a Nokia 30... I don't know. Well, I don't know what it is.
I think mine's so old, it's got like a built-in car jack on it. if you get a puncture on the side of the road, it's just...
The screen is no more than an inch.
Oh my god.
The screen is tiny.
Horrendous. Yeah. You can't even... The screen, it just gets a smudge mark. Nothing happens.
Yeah.
You have to use buttons.
I know. I like buttons, though.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the side of the road, I'm actually quite a keen cyclist. I do quite a lot of cycling.
Are you?
Yes.
I haven't seen you cycle ever.
What?
Seen you cycle once.
What?
How long have I known you? I've seen you cycle three times.
I don't cycle in the mountains. Well, I mean, I do, but I haven't had a bike.
How much of a fan are you, then, if you don't cycle in the mountains?
Listen. I'm a big road biker.
Yeah?
That's my thing. I like doing that. But yeah, I haven't done much since I've been here in Switzerland, that is true.
You've done about as much as Lance Armstrong has done recently.
That is true, yeah. He's done quite a lot of stuff in his time, hasn't he? You know?
In the past.
Yeah, he's done quite a lot of doping, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Which, in French, you want to know what that is?
Yes.
It's le dopage.
Le dopage?
Dopage, yeah.
A bit like soup?
What?
Potage.
Potage, yeah. Well, it ends in an arge, so I guess it's... Kind of like soup.
You could wrap it together. You could
maybe that's how he ingested it. crushed up his like, you know,
dopage potage.
Dopage potage with a bit of pana banana on the side.
Episode
one. Oh my god. Yeah. So yeah, he hasn't been doing very well, has he? Really.
No.
You know,
people titles really
just taken away.
People hate him.
Yeah, and in a way, rightly so. Yeah, yeah. There's a great South Park episode about. About like
fish sticks.
About the wristbands, you know, the Livestrong wristbands that he had.
Yeah.
And it's kind of you'll have to watch it, but it's kind of a piss take.
By the way, listeners, I've just realised that James has added a new bracelet to his wrist, and it's actually just a ski lock thing.
Ski binding.
Yeah. Not a ski binding, because that implies something like the ski wrap thing that you hold your skis together with.
Yeah. It's not like if I fall over, like the ski binding thing snaps off my wrist. No, it's not that, no. I found it. Well, I found it and I put it on my wrist. I think that's how most wristbands should acquire their place on your arm.
But how else would they get there if you didn't do it?
So wrist in French is poignet.
Poignet?
Poignet, yeah.
Poignet.
Yeah, so...
You feeling bad that I knew what clavicle was? This is why you're bringing up body parts.
Yeah, I am, yeah. I'm just trying to get one back.
Well done.
But no, that was a nice piece of knowledge. How did you know that again?
Because I was teaching an eight-year-old child about...
You were doing some homework with it, yeah?
Yeah, and we had to come up with a way to learn all the bones.
Yeah.
But I've forgotten them. But she still remembers them, because I asked her the other day.
Well, one thing we didn't bring up last week when we were talking about body parts is word for bone is O. It's O-S. It's just O. Like
osteoporosis and other os words in the English language.
Then, what I was going to say is that the os in the word for bone, then comes into the English word oscillate.
Okay.
Which is kind of like jiggling around like your bones do in your body. You know, you wrist bone connected to your elbow. Or no. Whatever.
You've got no forearms.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fact about you. You have no forearms.
Yeah, just got the wrist to the elbow. Stumpy arms. I've got my what?
You're a T-Rex.
Was that your femur?
That's not that.
Yeah.
Tibia?
No, I'm not sure. That's no, well, your tibia is your lower leg. And,
tibia. Fibia.
Yeah, if you want to wear shin guards
yeah.
In football, in French football,
yeah.
then you would wear your protège tibia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they call it your protège tibia.
That makes a sense.
Which is kind of, yeah, but I mean, in English, if you said, oh, I'm just protecting my tibia, people would be like, whoa.
Fancy
all right,
pants.
All right, doctor. Dr. Jones. Calling Dr. Jones.
Okay. Wow, what a reference is that?
Bit of aqua there.
When was that, the 90s?
Yeah, we should have talked about it in the music episode.
Yeah. That was an awful video as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you buy that? I think my brother bought that.
Yeah, no, I've got one of my best mates, actually, Jaime. He
was it that guy?
That was his first, no, that was his first album.
Oh.
Yeah, I think we've all got these secret love affairs with kind of embarrassing pop music, haven't we, really?
Yeah, well, I think, like, my brother Max's, his might have been, I think he got that, but at the time, when he was young, he got his finger caught in a door, and the Ooh. Finger was really distraught. Like, he had it, like, taped up, like, E.T. for ages.
Oh, God.
And everyone would take the mic all the time. But his doctor that helped, that he worked with, was called Mr. Jones, or Dr. Jones. So, constantly, the song, and it'd be like, oh, we're going to the Dr. Jones. So, yeah.
Well, wow, you must have endless fun with that.
Yeah, we did. It was amazing. Good times, you know, when you haven't got much else to do.
Yeah, so I'm glad we're covering a lot of sport in this episode.
Sporting injury, though. Yeah. He was a...
So let's go back to let's go back to cycling, as we were just chatting about then for a sec. So, yeah, we were talking about Lance Armstrong doping, but there's other kinds of cycling as well, of course. I mean, you can have normal cycling or just riding a bike. You would say, je fais du vélo.
Je fais du vélo.
Yeah, that could be like a kid riding his bike in the street, or it could mean any kind of bike riding. Whereas sports bike riding, you would say le cyclisme.
Okay, so yeah. Like cycling rather than
more like with a sporting nuance to it.
Okay.
Another kind of biking is what kind?
BMXing,
yeah. I think that's the same, you know, in French.
Yeah?
But I haven't got that in my notes.
BMX. What's BMX in French?
BMX.
BMX.
BMX. Yeah, BMX. I think so, yeah.
What other cycling are you thinking of? Like penny farthing races?
Yeah, penny farthing races. Yeah, like little drag races on a penny farthing.
Drag races, imagine that.
Yeah.
I'd love to see penny farthing races.
I don't actually know how to say fixie in French either.
It's probably like...
It's probably just fixie. Yeah,
it's probably not like a... translatable word, really.
No, it's not really, is it? No.
Well, what's the... Well, like, fixed. But
fixed
no,
it's kind of like French anyway.
Yeah.
Fixed. Well, you can also have mountain biking, okay, which in French is actually a series of letters.
Okay.
Yeah, standing for all-terrain cycling. So it's VTT,
which is
VTT, and it stands for Vélo Tout Terrain.
So that means bike... Tout is like everything or all?
All, yeah.
All and terrain.
Terrain, yeah. So it's pronounced terrain.
Terrain.
Yeah.
Tout terrain.
So that's all terrain cycling, basically. And interestingly, one of my friends, Will Greenwood, works at a bike shop called All Terrain Cycles in near Leeds. Or used to work there, so...
That makes sense.
Yeah, that's a good
one. Is it got any kind of French connection?
Oh, yeah, I see what you did there. No, it's got absolutely none. Oh,
okay.
But still.
I remember when I learned to ride a bike when I was younger, and my dad pushing me down the road, he was well into his cycling, so I think we all learned quite quickly. Uh-huh. And shouting the name Mario Cipollini at me.
Really?
But, like, I still don't know who Mario Cipollini is. I'm assuming...
He sounds like a kind of...
I think he was an Italian racer at the time.
Sausage-based Nintendo character.
Mario Cipollini.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
I feel like you'd put that on a barbecue and it'd go bloop, 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 bloop. And like grow into a bigger sausage.
Mm. And then... Yeah.
And as you swallow it, it's like... Yeah, anyway.
And it comes out.
Podcasts in the future will not have these references. So I like doing a bit of cycling. Football. What other sports are you into, Tom?
Other sports. Well, I find it hard to do sport these days because I have bad knees.
Yeah.
But when I do have, when I'm good, I like, obviously football still. Tennis. Mm-hmm. I like to play a bit of tennis. Ping pong. I think we touched on ping pong before in one
year. Maybe,
yeah. We should really like write down everything that we do.
Ever.
And
yes.
Then we can like refer to it rather than go over the same stuff constantly.
That is true.
But yes. Yeah, I like to play a bit. I'm not very good at it. Badminton I used to play a lot of.
Badminton, yeah.
But I used to play when I was at university. There was like a church hall that you could like, if you like pretended to be into Jesus, you could go and play for free.
Oh, really? So, so you just pretending to be into Jesus?
Oh, yeah.
Did he help you win matches? Because surely a Christian badminton, a Christian sporting event, would always end with one person losing their faith in God. Surely, what, because you know they're both praying. They're like, "Come on, like let me win." The only like, surely the only way it could work is if every match was a draw.
I don't think that when Christians play sport that they put all their they've probably put all their faith in the Lord, but I don't think.
I don't think that like the outcome of the match is like
They're not like if you don't make me win, you're dead.
You're
to
fired.
Me. Yeah, you're fired. Here, I'm going to get a new religion.
Yeah, I'm changing religion.
I think nice.
Like REM.
I think I'd become a Buddhist if I had to.
Well, you know Michael Stipe out of REM, he's got a kind of blue stripe across his face.
No.
You never seen that?
A real blue stripe.
Probably should move on then. You haven't seen it. No, for his gigs, he paints a blue stripe across his face, like around his thing. It looks kind of, it looks a bit like a kind of a mask or something.
A bit like Data from Star Trek.
I don't know who that is either. Wow. our references are just hitting the wrong time.
Like Adam
Ant. So, do you think darts is a sport?
Yes, definitely a sport.
See, I'm not sure it is because, you know, a lot of people often quote this and I think I almost agree. I think any sport where the main like drink is beer,
it's not anymore. It was for a while, and then they
do they drink now? Vodka.
Right. When they used to play
Guinness,
they used to drink and stuff, but then they had to get rid of it because of this like completely negative connotation to a very very skillful game.
Yes, admittedly there is as much skill in that as say like archery or
for sure
or shooting.
Well, like a lot of things. There's
but then you don't see, I mean, you know, you never see archers, like, you know, getting a crossbow ready or whatever, and then they just, you know, crack out a desperado.
Yeah, but they don't do that now anyway.
Like, torpedo!
for
a little pre-match, you know, the thing courage.
I would love to go watch darts live, though, because the crowd seem, like, well into it, and it's normally, like, you know, like, what, Blue Water or
it's
something?
Like
or
Lakeside?
Yeah. And the commentary's always amazing. And they've got great names.
I just think darts is one of those sports where watching it on TV must be infinitely better than watching it in the thing.
No, they must have. They must have massive like, they must have like close up cameras.
Yeah.
And just massive displays.
Yeah, true.
Because otherwise,
because they're quite small by definition, aren't they? Really, darts.
Yeah. That's what makes it harder. If it was massive, the dart.
True.
I guess it'd be quite easy to. I don't know actually. No, but darts is a sport for sure.
Yeah.
Well, we play darts.
We do. Yeah, we play it quite regularly. We played it last night, didn't we? Even.
Yeah.
And I'm terrible, actually.
You were really bad last night.
Yeah.
Like, really bad. Actually, we cheated, and we just finished the game because I couldn't hit a bullseye.
No, that is true, yeah. So, speaking of other sports that we've done recently, or that are happening at the moment, it's the Six Nations at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah. Don't do rugby, though.
No, we're not going to do rugby.
No, we can. I said I don't do rugby.
Oh, right, okay. But we probably shouldn't because I don't either, and it's not really.
I think we're good at it as English. I think we're good at Six Nations. I don't know how you talk about rugby.
No, I don't either. I think I'm
too like embedded into the world of football.
Yeah.
Like the egg chasing idiots comes to mind when I think of rugby. Yeah. I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, the egg actually is quite a big part of sporting terminology.
Yeah.
And, can you guess which sport the egg appears in? It's not like cockfighting.
Well, that the problem.
Well, it's the wags anyway. The eggs. They're on the side. Like, come on,
oh, a new batch of fighters.
Another kid. I can't afford this.
I don't know what cooking is that a sport?
Well, if darts is a sport, then cooking probably
definitely not. Definitely, you
and
can't say
darts
that.
Players do play a lot.
Tiddlywinks
play a
is
lot
that
cooking.
A sport?
Yes.
How?
I don't know. You don't drink beer in it.
I think a lot of sports would be better off if you drank.
No,
alcohol.
Tiddlywinks is a child's game.
So is,
I'd say Tiddlywinks, and it goes in the same category as chess or Risk.
Chess,
or Monopoly.
Chess is not a sport.
But chess is a game of stratagem, isn't it? So
it's a nice word.
Yeah.
But what eggs?
So the egg. Do you know what egg is in French?
Earth.
Oeuf, yeah. Okay. And if you say the egg, then you know what that is?
L'œuf.
L'œuf, yeah. And that sounds a lot like an expression you use in tennis. When, if I'm beating you, like I've just scored 3 points against you, then I'd say it's 40 love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you might think, oh, why is it love? What does that mean? Well, the love comes from the French word egg.
Ah.
Because an egg is like a zero.
But don't they say zero, the French?
Well, but in England we don't. So maybe they do say zero now.
No. I mean, but they don't say for the word, when they're counting, they don't say l'œuf.
Oh, no, they don't say like egg 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, that'd be preposterous.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's many like egg counting farmers listening to this podcast, so we can skim over that. But yeah, so the love in tennis comes from the egg. Yeah, and if you've ever done any like cryptic crosswords, have you ever tried them?
I've tried, but I get really bored.
Yeah.
Well. And I'm dyslexic, so it's really difficult.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Well, I mean, I've done them before. I got into them for a while, and they can be really interesting. And egg is like kind of one of the code words for zero as well. So or for an O.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of interesting. So, Tom, who's your favourite football team?
Tottenham Hotspurs.
Okay, nice choice.
The Spurs.
Quite a common choice, actually. I've got a lot of friends who are from London who are Spurs fans as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, my team is the mighty Hull City.
My team should be Ipswich, but can't be bothered with them anymore.
Well, fair play. Why is that?
Well, I used to watch when I was a kid. They go and watch the games. Me and Gavin Green would go.
Yeah.
And I know, but then moved away from Ipswich and then follow a team that I can actually like keep up with.
Yeah, fair play. And who are actually good.
Yeah.
As well. See, I don't support a team that's good because Hull City, well, actually, they're doing quite well this season.
Yeah, they are doing actually. Yeah. Compared to Ipswich,
they're
flying away.
Yeah. And it's nice to have a team that you kind of say you support, even if you don't watch every match and know all the players and, you know, you go to see every match.
You're really weird in the sense that...
Thanks, mate.
No worries. That I see that you're quite skillful with a football, because I'm sure you'll go on to explain why you're so good at football soon. But you don't seem to have that much interest. Like me,
In the statistics.
Yeah, I look up sport news nearly every day, play FIFA nearly every day, and watch as much match of the day as possible.
Yeah. It's true. I'd say the majority of kind of guys who are into sports are pretty knowledgeable about football and like the latest transfers and the league tables and stuff. But yeah, I've always been more of a practical guy, so I don't know. I never really follow it. I haven't got enough time for it. One thing I do follow, however, always is the World Cup, and I always get really into England when they play.
I'd hope it would be England that you'd get into.
Yeah. Well, having said that, when I was younger, I wanted the Holland the strip. Because for some reason, I just really liked it.
So did I.
Did you?
I was like, as soon as England went out of the tournament, I was like, Holland. I was always the Netherlands.
The Netherlands. The Netherlands.
So, yeah.
Welcome to our country. That sounded like Sean Connery.
Yeah, like a Dutch Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always get into that. So the World Cup is La Coupe du Monde.
La Coupe du Monde. The Cup of the World.
La Coupe du Monde, yeah. It's the Cup of the World, yeah. And do you know, there's quite a big French reference actually to the World Cup because, FIFA is, do you know what it stands for?
No.
Well, it stands for a French acronym. It's La Fédération Internationale Football Association. Yeah. and the third president of FIFA was a man named Jules Rimet.
Jules Rimet.
Yeah, and
that rings a bell.
Yeah, what bell does it ring?
Songs for the England football team.
Can you give us a little example?
Jules Rimet, still gleaming, 30 years of hurt.
That's enough. Yeah, and Jules Rimet is the name of the World Cup, the actual cup. That is lifted by the winners.
Anyone who isn't English, it seems, at the moment. Yeah.
So, of course, when we won in 66, it was a different cup, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh.
There we go.
Shoes on the other foot.
At least I knew when the World Cup was won.
Yeah, well, yeah, because I think they gave the old World Cup to Brazil, I think, because they won. When you win three times, you get to keep it forever.
How many times have they won now? I think they've won four, haven't they?
Yeah, quite a lot. And you get a little star on your kit for every time you've won, which is why the England kit has a star on it. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, I've got one in my wardrobe.
All right.
I like to break it out now and then.
Just show your stars off. Mm. Stars and stripes.
Not American.
No, yeah.
But Clint Dempsey makes me want to support America sometimes, so...
Don't know who that is.
Are you joking me?
No.
Clint Dempsey played for Fulham, moved to Tottenham.
Don't know.
He's American, he scored that goal against England, against Robert Green.
Yeah, anyway... So there's a few expressions in football that are quite common... things. Okay, so in football, you might make a pass.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very easy one. It's just un pass.
Un pass.
Yeah, very easy. Next one, you might make. Well, I don't know what. Let's think about things you might do on FIFA.
A through ball.
Okay, so a through ball in French is un pass en profondeur.
Un pass en profondeur.
Yeah.
What does that mean then?
Well, it's funny you say that. So profondeur. At the end, is kind of, it means in it like deeply or of depth.
Of depth.
So it's a deep pass, basically.
Okay.
Une passe en profondeur, and we'll come back to that in a second, actually. Mm-hmm. So let's see, what else have you got? Okay, so it can be offside in football.
Yes.
So offside in French is hors jeu.
Hors jeu.
Yeah. So it's spelt with a H to start with.
Okay.
So it's a H-O-R-S, and that's pronounced or. And jeu is like game. So, and the or means outside or out of.
So outside of the game.
Yeah, it's out of the gameplay, yeah. So I guess it kind of makes sense. It's kind of strange that we call it offside, isn't it, really? But I guess it's the side of the defensive line, which is off, and one side is on.
You're onside, offside. Yeah, it does make sense.
It does actually make sense.
I was watching football highlights this morning, and I was watching it with a French commentary.
Oh, yeah?
A lot more exciting than the English. It's like, it's just constant, like, so exciting. And I understood some of it, which I was quite happy about.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Can you quote any?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I was just trying to keep up with what they were saying.
Yeah, no.
And I could understand a bit.
I mean, one thing you'll notice is that when you try and listen to, like, French people speaking in their natural environment, mm-hmm. so to speak, you know, if you went on a French safari
mm-hmm.
and you saw, like, a kind of, you know, a French family grazing on the...
Oh, okay.
The savannah, so to speak.
I thought we were going with French people, but we're observing them like animals.
Like animals, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So then you would see them speaking a lot more quickly and using a lot more colloquialisms.
Yeah.
Just how we speak, you know, we don't always speak really properly when we speak, you know, with each other.
Why do you use that accent?
Don't know.
Why do you mock me with that accent? Because that's how I speak.
Is that your voice?
No, it's just like this, isn't it?
Yeah, so one thing about the French speech as well is that it's a lot more throaty than our language, than most British speakers would find in English when we're speaking English. So one thing I remember when I was in France is that my friends told me that my accent would improve if I just tried to speak a bit more in my throat like that, you know? Obviously, I was speaking in French, not in a French accent.
But maybe if you practice just in English, talking like that, maybe you would become a better French speaker.
Yeah, so you can hear that if I go like that, and then I go right to the front of my mouth, and then I can go back to the mouth.
You're
back
just
to
like,
the throat.
Talking about football, just like Joey Barton.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen that Joey Barton interview where he tries to speak, well, he's speaking completely in English, but he's obviously, he's been playing at Marseille.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And he speaks for this awful... He's like, oh, yes, it's well, I really love my football here. It's amazing. I'm like, what are you doing? Complete toolbox.
Yeah, but it's that's a little tip. So if you want to improve on your pronunciation, then trying to focus on just sending it into the throat a bit more. Oh. So kind of giving it a bit more drive. You know, instead of bonjour, it's like bonjour. You know, bonjour. It's coming a bit more out of the throat.
Bonjour.
Just for example. So
do a Joey Barton.
Yeah. So basically, you want your throat to sound a bit deeper. So we talked about a deep pass, didn't we, just before? And depth is something that crops up quite a lot in French and in English. So this word profondeur means like depth, mm-hmm. and it comes from the French word profond, which means deep.
Okay.
Okay. Now, the end bit of this word, fond, F-O-N-D, mm-hmm. crops up again and again, and it actually, in French, it means the bottom of something, or the back, or something deep.
Okay.
So if you can just kind of imagine that kind of, that connotation, that kind of, the feeling of depth, or the bottom mm-hmm. of something, yeah. So so then we get, from that, we get a lot of English words, like the word foundation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And things like fundamental.
Yeah.
Which in French is fondamental.
Fondamental.
Yeah. So, so there are the words that come from this same root of profond. I mean, we even have the English word profound.
Mm.
If you say someone says something very profound, then it's very deep. It's very
deep and meaningful,
intellectual, isn't it? Yeah. And there's a couple of other actually examples of it. If you're on your computer in uh-huh. France and you open your screen, mm-hmm. and then the background that appears is called the fond d'écran.
Fond d'écran.
Fond d'écran, which just means the back of the screen.
Okay.
Makes sense. However, there are a few false friends. Do you remember we've touched on these before? Like, faux ami?
Yeah.
So, we have the word fond in English.
Yeah.
Like, to be fond of something.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to be careful, because this is not related to the same root. Okay, so watch out for that one.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Yeah. What other sports are you fond of then?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, see what I did
there. What, playing, watching?
Anything.
Well, I used to snowboard a lot.
Oh, yeah?
And being in the mountains, I wish I could do that, but knees are not very good, so.
Knees, yeah.
Knees are bad. But yeah, I really still do like it. I follow it.
Yeah, there seems to be quite a big rivalry between snowboarders and skiers, I find. Anyone who's ever done a ski season or spent a lot of time in a ski resort will know this. That there's kind of heated debates.
But
about
it's not real. It's all for fun.
Fun and games. It's like shits and giggles, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, because you just want to. It's just banter.
It's banter,
just
isn't it?
Banter.
For big time bants.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm a skier.
I know. You tell me about it. You told me that you can ski backwards.
It's true, yeah, I can, yeah. It's something I've been working on.
Style as well, I've heard.
Yeah, it's something I've been working on, you know. But, I mean, to be fair, I have done quite a lot of bales into the powder snow, practising it, but, yeah. So, if you want to talk about doing skiing or snowboarding, mm-hmm. which I've been doing regularly since we're in the mountains,
mm-hmm.
Then you can say, je fais du ski.
Je fais du ski.
Je fais du ski, which means I do skiing.
Yeah.
Skiing. You can also even say, like, a modern version of ski, the verb, is you can just say je ski, or je ski, like, je skier ski. Is the verb.
Ah, je skier. So you say, je fais du snowboard.
Well, you can actually say, in French, you can say, je fais du surf.
Je fais
like a surfboard. Je fais du surf.
Is it the same as if you actually surf?
But you can, there's different ways. You can say snowboard. You can say je fais du snow, you see.
Okay.
As well. So, so there's lots of different ways of saying that. So what whereabouts do you go skiing?
Where?
Yeah.
Personally? Yes. Normally on snow.
On snow?
On snow. In a mountain.
Original.
You know?
Yeah.
At a snow dome.
So I often like going on a piste. You know,
I'm more off piste, dude.
Is it? Yeah. Fair play.
I'm pretty gnarly, isn't it?
So I was on a black piste the other day, and it was on a noir, and it was a bit steep.
Yeah.
I was kind of cacking myself.
Mm. Is it the first time you've done the black?
No, I've done blacks a few times, but occasionally it gets very iced over.
Uh-huh.
And if you want to say that, you can say it's very glacé.
Glacé. Okay.
Yeah. So it sounds like glass dome. Yeah. You know. Or it sounds a bit like classy, like a classy bird, you know.
Mm, I think, yeah.
Classy is probably better.
Yeah. I remember when I went to snowboard out in Bulgaria. And it was like my third day of learning to snowboard. And our instructor accidentally took us down this black piste. It was just pure ice. And it went straight steep down. And then it just was like humps, like massive humps. So it would be for people to get like little bits of air off.
Yeah.
But at the bottom of every, in the what do you call it, the depth of the jump.
Oh yeah.
It was full of like just rocks of ice, where it'd like fallen apart.
Oh my goodness.
So initially we fell down the first bit and then had to somehow get through all this. It was the most awful thing. Just
that does sound like probably the worst conditions to learn to snowboard ever.
Yeah, don't learn in Bulgaria. Yeah. It's cheap though.
Was it an English speaker, or was he teaching you in Bulgarian? Because that would probably be the icing on the cake of the worst ski lesson ever.
He had very good English. He also, because he learned a lot of stuff from TV.
Bulgarski.
Bulgarski. Like, he'd shout things off like the ski lifts, but they'd be completely inappropriate. But because he'd heard it on MTV, he thought it would be okay.
Yeah, what, like film references?
Or like more like rap references.
Okay.
Like what's up my N-word?
Oh, right,
just
okay,
shouting
yeah.
it off a piece. Like shouting off the chairlift to a group of
really
people.
You can't really say that, can you, in this day and age?
Well, I guess you can in Bulgaria.
Yeah. That's he sounds like a kind of a comedy teacher.
He was
it'd be like if Arnold Schwarzenegger ever gave up his post as what, the Canadian, not Canadian, Californian.
I think he has, isn't he? Is he still a governor?
What's he called? Governor, yeah. And he could go back to Austria and do ski instruction, like, follow me.
Follow me if you want to
if
live.
If you want to live.
Oh, by the way, if you like...
your skis, your poles, and your motorcycle.
If you like stand-up comedy, look up a guy called Godfrey.
Yeah.
He's pretty good. Hit him off on YouTube.
Pretty funny guy.
Maybe we'll put a link on our page. Because he's funny. It's cold.
It's cold out.
It's cold as shit.
Yeah. So, so speaking of like bad conditions on the slopes, recently we had a slight patch of warm weather, which is kind of the opposite of what Godfrey talks about in his stand-up, and that can actually be quite dangerous when you're on the slopes because it can lead to conditions which are prone to avalanching.
Yeah, so that kind of layers, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah,
layers, the kind of strata of snow like melting away and slipping off and taking people out.
Have you seen an avalanche yet?
I've seen like the aftermath of an avalanche, but I haven't seen one in action, you know.
No,
I don't know if I want to.
No,
maybe from a distance.
I had a friend who I lived with when I was in Italy, and he said he was heli skiing, and as they got out of the helicopter, the whole thing slid.
Oh my!
And they had no choice but to just try and outride it, and all of them just managed to get out of it.
Oh my god!
That'd be so scary. You haven't even hit the snow; it just goes. Start that, sliding away.
It'd be pretty petrifying, yeah. I think so, yeah. So, I mean, the action of an avalanche, it kind of, the snow kind of collapses down and swallows you up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And this is a good way of actually remembering a French word, which is the word to swallow, okay, which is avaler.
Avaler.
Avaler, yeah. Which is probably where the word avalanche comes from, a kind of the swallowing up of the snow.
Anything, yeah.
Well, actually, avaler kind of, in old French, kind of meant going down.
Okay.
Something like as food goes down your throat when you swallow.
Okay.
So it makes sense that an avalanche is a slipping down of something. Yeah. Well, one thing you have to make sure though is that you don't confuse the word swallow with the bird swallow.
Okay.
Which is hirondelle.
Hirondelle.
Hirondelle. Again with a H, but the H is always if it starts with a H in French, it's almost always a silent H.
Well,
there are a few exceptions, but.
You could get that wrong if you went to a tattoo parlor in France and wanted to swallow, because they're quite common, isn't it? I don't know what it is about the swallow.
Swallow tattoos, yeah, you're right. They are quite common, aren't they?
Yeah.
Maybe it symbolises something in like Nordic symbology. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Somewhere it means something.
Symbology, is that even something?
I think it should be. If it's not,
yeah.
Symbology.
Yeah.
That's our hip hop group's name.
I thought it was Hipswitch.
No, that's my rap
name.
Oh,
okay, so it's like Outkast, and then there's like sub...
Andre 3000 and Big Boy.
Yeah, I'll be Andre 3000.
I'll be Big Boy.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's carry
on. Bit of an ironic naming there.
Oi.
Hey. So, yeah, so I was thinking about other things that are kind of common, things that you might do with your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds a bit weird, but... so we've got swallow. Another thing you might do is, I don't know, if you smell some pepper,
sneeze.
You might sneeze, yeah. Or if you look into the sun, some people get that as well.
Well, that's got a special name, hasn't it?
It's like photosensitive sneezing or something.
Yeah, it's got a real name though. Like
I know,
term.
Yeah, an actual term. So
you just re-described what you just said.
Yeah, I know. So then the word to sneeze is éternuer.
Eternue.
Which sounds, to me, it sounds like eternity.
Yeah.
So maybe you could imagine like a sneeze that lasts forever.
Yeah.
Like you're just like, a jam! You know? Yeah. And you just pass out and go into a kind of sneeze-induced coma.
Mm. For eternity.
So that's a little...
How do you say bless you?
Bless you is actually an interesting one. You would say in French is à tes souhaits.
À tes souhaits.
Yeah.
Which tissue.
Which is where we get a tissue from in English, yeah. A tissue, we all fall down. So
that's the plague for you.
Yeah. Nothing was like it the plague? Plague. Yeah, the bubonic.
Yeah.
Your bube.
Yeah. Classic bit of bube.
What you got? Oh, I've got a case of the old bube, haven't I?
Yeah. See you never.
Have some Calpol. Okay. Yeah, well, so à tes souhaits actually literally translates to your wishes.
To your wishes.
So it's kind of saying, you're going to die, but... Like, you know, have some wishes.
Good luck.
Or maybe wishes that you get better. So it's à tes souhaits. Although we're in Switzerland, and here in Switzerland, they wouldn't say à tes souhaits, they would say santé.
Santé. The same as like cheers.
The same as cheers. So if you sneeze as you're raising a glass, you'd be like, santé, santé. Yeah.
And then you'd take the snot out of your beer.
Yeah. You'd be like, oh, snotty.
Yeah.
Hey. So another thing you can do after that is maybe you might want to blow your nose because you've got all the pus coming out of your nose.
Nice.
Yeah. So you can say, again, it's reflexive. Samouche is the verb.
Mm-hmm.
So if we conjugate that to I, then it becomes je me mouche.
Je me mouche.
Which means I blow my nose.
Je me mouche.
Or I am blowing my nose. Oh. Je me mouche.
Je me mouche.
Yeah. And the word mouche on its own as a noun actually means a fly, like a house fly.
Oh, okay. A mouche.
Yeah. Choufla, don't bother me. So that's what you can say to a fly if it comes at your... But the best one, I think, that you can get, which you often get with professional footballers who are, you know, overpaid, they're kind of like brats, is you sometimes get them spitting at each other, don't you?
Yeah.
And I personally think that is a vile, repugnant thing to do in any sporting event.
Oh, well,
it's such it's such a cowardly way to express your indignation towards someone, isn't it?
I think it's quite a good way to express it. I don't think it's a nice way. I think it's a very good way. It's a very accurate way.
Well,
like if I wanted to tell you right now that I was really, really annoyed at you, if I just spat at you, you'd get the picture really quickly.
Yeah.
So I think it's a really good way. I just don't think it's
a
nice
way. I'd have to
wipe my
eyes before I could see the picture, but yeah.
Yeah.
Wipe that big greenie out of my face.
Mm-hmm.
So to spit is crasher.
Crasher.
Yeah, imagine you're driving your car and you crash it into the wall. It's crasher.
Crasher.
Yeah, and there's a nice expression in French, which is the equivalent of our "don't bite the hand that feeds you."
Mm-hmm.
So what does that kind of imply? Don't bite the hand that feeds you. It's kind of like if something is good to you,
treat it like garbage.
Garbaggio.
Yeah.
So the expression is to spit in the soup. So you basically say, don't spit in the soup.
Mm.
Like, because you basically, if you're going to eat the soup afterwards, you're ruining it for yourself.
Yeah.
And the expression is cracher dans la soupe.
Cracher dans la soupe.
That means to spit in the soup.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would say, you know, oh, my uncle's given me his long lost fortune.
Mm.
And then I'll say, oh, but, you know, I don't really want to see him. Like, he's a bit of a dick. And you'd be like, oh, don't spit in the soup.
Don't spit in the soup, mate.
Yeah, yeah. Faut pas cracher dans la soupe.
I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, okay. So that's a nice little expression for you there. So one thing that being out in a ski season with a lot of snow around is that you actually, it's kind of sometimes difficult to find a place to go on a jog, go on a run.
Yeah.
Now, I'm quite into my running. Like, I did the London Marathon last year, you know.
See, yeah, I thought you were into running. I didn't think you were into cycling.
No.
There's evidence of you liking running.
Yeah, what, me running?
Yes. I've never seen you on a
bike. And me having massive fat legs as well.
Yeah, you look... When you wear your jeans too tight, you look like an action man. Like, where you've got, like, a top leg and a bottom leg, and in the middle, just, like, a really tiny joint.
What, like a hinge?
Yeah, sort of. Like, it's barely... Your legs are
like
so
a toy,
big.
Like a Lego man.
That your knees seem like they're tiny on your body.
Yeah. So, thanks for pointing out my grotesque...
No, you've got good legs, just tiny knees.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Like shrimp eyes.
I'll take that as a compliment, yeah.
Shrimp knees.
So, so if you want to talk about jogging, the French actually have a lovely word which sounds very much like an English word. It's faire du jogging.
Faire du jogging.
So again, it's je fais du jogging.
It's not a soft J, it's not jogging.
No. Or you can say je fais du footing as well.
Footing?
Yeah, it's the same thing, it's just a different word for it. But it's interesting how these words end in ing, which of course is a... an English construction.
Yeah.
And so I think that's it's quite a good example of how some English words have been taken and taken out of context. And like sometimes they change from a verb to a noun, whatever, and become something new. There's two examples that I'm going to, that we'll finish with, which are quite nice ones. If you're ever channel hopping, you can say zapping.
Zapping.
So again, je fais du zapping is just I'm channel hopping. And the last one is probably my favourite, is basically when you see it written down, it looks like the word smoking, like I'm smoking a cigarette, whatever.
It looks like that in English or in French?
It looks like that written down, as in that's how it's spelled, but it's a French word. Okay. So unsmoking means a tuxedo.
Oh.
Yeah, so you'd say I'm wearing a unsmoking.
Unsmoking.
Yeah, je porte unsmoking. Yeah, so yeah, nice. And that's probably what Sean Connery would be wearing when he's supporting Holland. Supporting the Netherlands.
Because he's
World
obviously
Cup.
Dutch.
Lifting up the Jules René.
Rame. Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is it Rame or René?
Rame. Yeah.
Like Remy, who's just gone to... Did he go to QPR?
It's like Remy out of Ratatouille, the rat. Yeah.
Another little Ratatouille reference.
Yeah. So I think that brings us to full time.
Full time on sport episode.
Session. And on to the next one. Game.
Well played.
Good game.
It's been a game.
Cheers.
Of two halves.
Yeah, it's
and
been.
After all the dust has settled,
it's been. Yeah,
still
a ball,
friends.
A ball game. The ball's in your court.
Thanks.
Back to square one.
Is that because I'm editing the podcast? This.
The what?
The podcast.
We're shaking podcast. Hands. You might not know. So thanks for joining us again, guys. Your loyalty, your fidelity to us is very, very appreciated by us.
Yeah.
And we're really enjoying making these. Podcast, so we hope you're enjoying them as well.
Yeah, and this week we're where we live in Switzerland, we're putting up posters to advertise our podcast. So if you happen to have seen the poster and are now listening to this, thank you for tuning in. I love a little thing about the local place we live. If you're into your yoga, look up Erica's yoga class. It's on Facebook, and there's posters around as well. Check that out. And Endless Ride is where she's working at the moment, so big up Endless Ride.
Yeah, so we've been talking about snowboarding. That's quite a nice little reference.
Yeah.
And don't forget, guys, if you want to email us in, any questions, comments, hints,
suggestions.
Maybe leave a suggestion for us, or maybe you just want to just have a
chat.
Go at us, that's fine.
Yeah. Oh.
Then whatever you want to do, you can email to pardonmyfrenchpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah.
So please join us again next week and have a lovely time in between doing your jogging, your smoking, or whatever you want to do.
Everything you do. So see you soon, guys.
And a push in.